For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin. According to the National Cancer Institute, more than 21,000 women in the United States are diagnosed with ovarian cancer each year. The Institute also says about 15,000 women die of the disease each year in this country. And yet we hear relatively little about this type of cancer. Today and tomorrow, in this special report, we'll learn more about ovarian cancer, including why it's difficult to detect, whether researchers are optimistic about finding more ways to treat it, and resources that are available to survivors and their families.
Majority of the women who are diagnosed, some of them still have, you know, whether it's their uterus and or one or two ovaries and or tubes, end up having to go in and getting, they do get a hysterectomy, but it's more of a major operation when these women go in and have this done.
That's the voice of Elizabeth Jordan. She's the program director of a group called Ovarian Awareness of Kentucky.
They also end up getting in there and removing parts of, whether it's parts of the colon, or, but they call it a debulking surgery. And the overall surgery itself can last up to about 9.5, 10 hours. And my mother, unfortunately, had to go through that process.
According to the National Cancer Institute, mortality rates for ovarian cancer have not improved in some 30 years since the war on cancer was first announced. However, other cancers have shown a marked reduction in mortality, largely because of the availability of improved treatments and early detection tests. This isn't the case with ovarian cancer, which is still considered the deadliest of all gynecologic cancers. Dr. Daniel Metzinger is an oncologist at the University of Louisville who specializes in the treatment of ovarian cancer patients through his work at the Brown Cancer Center.
Ovarian cancer affects a relatively small amount of women a year, although it's a very deadly cancer. So although it's the second most common gynecologic cancer behind endometrial cancer or uterine cancer, it is the most deadly. And it's the most deadly because it is typically found in the vast majority of women in later stages.
Sue Wilson was chairperson for an Episcopal Church ovarian cancer awareness seminar recently held in Warren County. She believes public awareness is vital in dealing with this disease.
Today, there really is no answer yet to ovarian cancer. So one of our main goals in this is to make everybody, not just women, but all persons aware of the deadliness of ovarian cancer and the need for research, good doctors, and better educate women to some of the things they can do, maybe to prevent it.
The American Cancer Society says birth control pills can reduce the risk of ovarian cancer, especially among women who use them for 5 years or more. These women have about half the risk of getting ovarian cancer compared with women who never use the pill. However, birth control pills do have some serious side effects and risks, and women thinking about taking these drugs for any reason are advised by the Cancer Society to first discuss the pros and cons with their doctor. Dr. Daniel Metzinger says one of the problems in dealing with ovarian cancer is that the symptoms of the disease are difficult to detect and frequently aren't noticeable until the disease has already progressed.
Now, the things they tell you to look for, like bloating and distension and difficulty eating, the problem with those symptoms are late-stage symptoms. So when that's what you're looking for, the cancer's out of the barn. So we have to develop strategies that are different than we have to do with other cancers. If you think of other cancers like cervix cancer, you have a pap smear, colon cancer, you have a colonoscopy, breast cancer, you have a mammogram, and so on. I don't think we're going to develop something like that. We have to develop something that's going to predict which women are going to get ovarian cancer.
The American Cancer Society says a risk factor is something that affects a person's chance of getting a disease. Different cancers have different risk factors. Most ovarian cancers happen after the change of life, menopause. Half of these cancers are found in women over the age of 63. Obesity is also a risk factor. Very overweight women seem to have a higher risk of getting ovarian cancer. A study from the American Cancer Society also found a higher rate of death from ovarian cancer in women who were overweight. And a woman who has had children has a lower risk of ovarian cancer than women who have had no children. That risk goes down with each pregnancy. Breastfeeding may also lower the risk even further. Once again, Elizabeth Jordan of the group Ovarian Awareness Kentucky.
There's so many women out there that don't know anything about this disease. There's so many women out there that still don't know. You know, a lot of women think that whether they have health insurance or not, they're trying to be responsible. Even if they don't have, and health insurance, and they're still trying to be responsible women and taking care of their bodies, and going and getting their annual exams and paying it out of pocket, and they get that little card in the mail, and they think that, you know, well, my pap smear was normal, I'm good to go, I'll see the doctor in a year, and, you know, they get that little card in the mail, and they think everything is okay, and it's a misconception that, you know, a lot of women still have that, and that's not the case, because a pap smear is only going to detect possibly a cervical cancer, and it's not going to, you know, pick up on the ovarian cancer.
Jordan says her family was shocked to learn about ovarian cancer when her mother was diagnosed with the disease.
When you're diagnosed with something like this, you obviously have the issue of, do you stay here in town? Do you go somewhere else? And then you're faced with the issue of, you know, the little things. Well, if I decide to go out of state to have this major surgery that I'm being told I need to have, is it the right thing? And if I do that, then that means recovery away from home. That means, and does that then entail going through chemo away from home? Those are the kinds of steps that these women go through and that these women have been through. I was not an employee here when my mother was diagnosed. And I feel like I'm a fairly well-educated young lady. I've got a college degree in psychology. Everyone in my family went to college and went to law school or even, you know, have their master's degree and come from a good family. And we just, when we heard ovarian cancer, we were just kind of oblivious, had really no idea what ovarian cancer really was. And when we started to learn more, obviously we had more questions, and particularly when you're faced with something like that and when you're told you only have 6 to 8 months to live, it can be a very painful process.
And Dr. Daniel Metzinger says another complication with ovarian cancer is that it can spread very rapidly.
It's a relatively quick-acting cancer. The ovaries are floating around in the abdominal cavity, have a lot of space to grow. The cancer typically develops on the surface of the ovary. Little cells are flicked off into the abdominal cavity, and they'll float around and land somewhere and develop a little colony. And that colony will grow and flick off cells. So you get almost a studding of the abdominal cavity.
Tomorrow at this same time, we'll have the second segment in this special report. We'll hear about resources available to patients and their families, and we'll also hear whether some researchers are optimistic about finding a more effective way to help treat ovarian cancer. This has been a special report of the Public Radio Service of Western Kentucky University. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Dan Modlin. For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin. As we learned yesterday in the first segment of this two-part report, ovarian cancer is fatal to about 15,000 American women each year, and yet we hear relatively little about this potentially deadly form of cancer. The Mayo Clinic says ovarian cancer often goes undetected until it has spread within a woman's pelvis and abdomen, and at a late stage of detection, the disease can be very difficult to treat and is often fatal.
Here's some pictures of tumors, but I just want you guys to get a feel for what ovarian cancer is like.
To help increase public awareness of this situation, an ovarian cancer awareness seminar was recently held at the Episcopal Church in Bowling Green.
We all have our conception of what the ovary is, where it is, what it looks like, and what it does.
Sue Wilson was the chairperson who helped to coordinate the seminar.
Even though it's not as well known among women, and that's unfortunate because it is the deadliest of all of the gynecological cancers, the survival rate for ovarian cancer is very, very small, about 46% at best. And unfortunately, just more and more women are vulnerable to it, even young women, as our doctors pointed out, even as young as 14.
Dr. Michael Milam is a physician at the Norton Cancer Institute in Louisville. He says chemotherapy can be quite effective in treating ovarian cancer once it's diagnosed.
Chemotherapy is very effective for the treatment of ovarian cancer. The issue is that it can recur, and the problem for us is trying to find an agent that can help keep the cancer from coming back. So people can have a really advanced ovarian cancer respond very well to treatment, including the chemotherapy, such that we don't see it anywhere, but 2-3 years later down the road, it occurs. We don't have a handle on what we can do to move that time frame further away. By that I mean moving from 2 years to four or five, or making sure it doesn't come back at all. And that's kind of an issue about tertiary prevention that we're trying to figure out, and that's where a lot of research has been focused on.
Dr. Daniel Metzinger is an oncologist at the University of Louisville and the Brown Cancer Center. He's worked extensively with ovarian cancer patients, and he points out that the disease can cause many different types of tumors.
There's a lot of other cancers that can also have different tissue types. For most organs have different cell lines, and cancers can develop from the different cell lines. The ovary has both surface tissue, and you can get cancer from that. There are stromal tissue, which is connective tissue, and you can get cancers of that. And there's also the germ cells. Those are the cell lines that have to do with the egg, and there you can have cancers from those different types. When we talk about regular ovarian cancer, we're usually talking about cancer that happens on the surface of the ovary.
And Dr. Metzinger agrees with Dr. Milam that chemotherapy can be quite effective in treating some ovarian cancer patients.
Fortunately, ovarian cancer is very sensitive to chemotherapy. That's what allows us to start with a patient with very, very advanced disease and large volume disease to be able to do surgery, remove that volume disease, and the rest of it we can try to mop up with the chemotherapy.
And Dr. Milam of the Norton Cancer Institute believes the success in the chemotherapy area is one reason to be optimistic that more effective forms of treating ovarian cancer could be developed.
I think if you look at the new agents that have come along and the other options, I think we've seen a lot of improvement. It's just hard to obviously individualize it because every patient is different, and what they bring, you have to kind of consider it. But I do think that as science gets further along, I do think there's a lot of opportunities, and the fact that this type of cancer does respond so well to chemotherapy gives us hope for the future.
Dr. Michael Milam of the Norton Cancer Institute in Louisville. Elizabeth Jordan is program director of OAK, Ovarian Awareness of Kentucky. She says her mother is a good example.
She is a survivor, and she is one of our many little miracles. She was diagnosed in the spring of 2006. She went through the process, and the overall surgery itself can last, you know, up to about 9.5, 10 hours. And my mother, unfortunately, had to go through that process. So I've been through that process with my family. She had her surgery down at the James Graham Brown Cancer Center and immediately started two different kinds of chemotherapy right after surgery. They gave her 6 to 8 months to live. And she had her surgery. She did 9 cycles of two different drugs. Her doctor wanted her to take about a month break, give her body a break, and she did. She was doing really well. She was responding beautifully to the chemo. She responded beautifully to the surgery. We're very lucky, very lucky.
Dr. Metzinger agrees there have been some encouraging signs in terms of prolonging the lives of some ovarian cancer patients. He talks about one of his patients who recently passed away. He refers to her as Nancy.
That's why I brought Nancy up, because she lived over a decade with her disease and started out with very advanced stage disease. And we were able to suppress the disease until she lived into her late 70s. She ultimately did die of her disease, but she had a decade of relatively good health and a lot of good life experiences. Early on in her disease, we did some experimental treatments, and we're still waiting on that data to see how much that has actually helped folks in that particular study. But a lot of it was just some of the conventional treatments that we use that we know that work, and it delayed that disease for over a decade.
Experts in the field seem to agree on one key point. Early detection is difficult but needed. At the seminar, Dr. Metzinger stressed that the anatomy of the female pelvis does have an impact on the detection problem.
Where the ovary sits, which is deep in the pelvis, has a lot of room and a lot of space. The female pelvis is like a bowl, and you can hide a rather large tumor in the pelvis and have absolutely no idea that it's there.
As we've seen in this two-part series, ovarian cancer is a very deadly form of the disease that can be difficult to detect and treat. Support groups and more information can be found through organizations like OAK, Ovarian Awareness Kentucky, and through some church organizations like the Episcopal Church in Bowling Green. Sue Wilson believes women living in remote areas of the region must seek the medical treatment they need.
Some of us still live in more remote rural areas where there's not ready access to good gynecological oncologists. And so those are factors that we want to get out to the public.
For WKU Public Radio, I'm Dan Modlin.